This is Jim Mansky and Jory Mansky, and this is the Heart of Conflict 1, the third session. I'm feeling eager to share with you some more skills and tools to use in conflict transformation process today. We are going to begin in just a moment with a self-connection exercise. Today, we'll do an overview of the process again, our model of the NVC mediation process. And then we will have a chance to do a check-in where everyone will be able to express how you are and any requests that you have, including questions about the process, questions about the homework, questions about anything related to the heart of conflict.
We'll also do a lesson on empathy today.
And we'll have the opportunity to move into practice. The form of practice can be different ways. You can choose to play the role of mediator today. You could choose to play the role of disputant, or you can choose to play the role of coach. So any of those roles are possible. After we have a chance to practice, we'll get back together again and debrief what we learned and harvest that so that we can kind of integrate whatever learning happens during the class day. I'd like to go ahead and start with a self-connection exercise. Okay, first just a couple of words about why we emphasize self-connection so much in the way we teach mediation. For me, I'm a party to the mediation. It's important for me, therefore, to be as tuned in, centered, and empathic as I can be when I am directing a process for other people. That's the way that I'm working to contribute. And I find it helpful to support the process if I am connected to my own feelings and needs before I try to assist others. So it's a way of supporting the process and supporting myself in the process. And so today's self-connection exercise will go something like this. Just begin by putting aside any pencil, paper, any of those note-taking things that you might need, because you won't need to take notes for this part.
And make a commitment to put your attention as fully as possible on your own experience.
Take a moment and connect with any other intentions you have about trying this exercise. What needs are you hoping to meet? And then bringing your attention to the present moment. One way that I find helpful to become more present is to focus on my breathing. Just watch the natural flow of breath coming into your own body and out of your own body. And just do a brief version of the self-connection exercise that we often do of just making a note of what you observe right now. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? And how do you feel about that in this moment? What physical sensations and emotions do you notice right now? Then connect those feelings to your own needs. What need is alive in you right now? What's important to you? And from this place of self-connection, consider what you could ask of yourself that could support you in making the rest of this exercise more meaningful for you. And then I'd like to invite you into a thought experiment. And in this thought experiment, you will be the center of the experience. So I'd like you to stay as connected as you can to your own body, looking out through your own eyes in your imagination. And I want you to imagine, if you're willing, that someone is in front of you that is experiencing some emotional distress. Maybe they're crying. Maybe they're really speaking in a loud tone of voice. Whatever it is for you that you would like to play with here. Just imagine that you are in the presence of someone else who's experiencing strong emotion. And just set your own intention to have an empathic connection with that person. And then cultivate curiosity. Imagine that you're just really wondering what's going on in this person, what's important to them. And what you really would like to do is connect. No matter how they present, you're feeling strong and rooted in your own self-connection. It's as if you can just be present to them, no matter how they may be behaving. Solid in your own experience of self-connection. And then notice as they express their pain, that you have choices about what you could do. You could focus your attention on their experience, just noticing the behaviors that they may be displaying. Maybe their tears coming out of their eyes or their body is quivering with emotion. You just notice their experience. As if you were just an observer without getting hooked. And then another choice you have is to make a guess about what might be important to that other person as they express this emotion. What needs might be activated in them? And again, as you connect with the needs that might be alive in the other person, you're able to stay in your own experience as an observer, just being present with them. You may even take the choice to make a guess about what is alive, what is important to the other person. Maybe using a phrase like, so I'm curious, is it that blank is important to you? You could actually make a guess out loud to the other person. Another choice you have as you listen to the other person and connect to their need, to savor the need, to experience how that need is important to you too, and how that need is universally important to all human beings. To just sit in the awareness of the beauty of that need. Wordlessly. And from this place of self-connection and connecting to the other person's needs, a new moment arises, new opportunity to choose what you would like to do. Perhaps make another empathic guess, perhaps express your own honesty, but your commitment remains to just be present with both yourself and the other person. So as this exercise begins to come to a close, just notice how you feel right now, having had this experience. Notice any physical sensations or emotions that are present in you right now. And again, connect them to your own needs, noticing any needs of yours that have been met by this exercise. Also, noticing any unmet needs that may be present for you. Both are equally precious. And then consider what requests you have of yourself about what you might want to report about this experience to the rest of us. Jory, would you be willing to guide the check-in?
Sure. So, for me, I'm feeling appreciative of the exercise and looking forward to connecting with all of you.
I also am feeling appreciative of the exercise. It excites me when I can visualize myself connecting with somebody in pain or in agitation while I feel safe and self-connected. So I'm excited to be here and happy to follow whatever we do today.
I liked that exercise as well. I feel a sense of peacefulness, really, and I guess it met a need of mine for connection around a specific person and a specific incident. So, yeah, I'm thinking that'd be a really good exercise to do on a daily basis because there's a lot of, well, just obviously an ability to connect with myself when this is happening in my imagination and not quite yet in reality. So it was very helpful.
I am feeling agitated and lack of clarity. My full attention was not on the exercise. I was interrupted. I thought I set up the call to have the time to myself. There's a lot of agitation here right now. I live in a very quiet environment, very peaceful. When I come to New York, it's exactly the opposite of how I've set up my life. So I'm feeling unbalanced, a little agitated. I feel it above the waist. What I'm needing is the quiet, the certainty, the harmony that I am used to. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your vulnerability. I wrote the possibility of using something similar to this for our mediation today. So you can consider whether that would be okay for you, and we'll come back to that in a bit.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed the exercise. Felt a little anxiety coming in. Well, our big walk-in freezer just went down. So it was a great opportunity to wind down the energy. And the beauty of it was in hearing talk about Jim, about listening and not getting hooked. And I really appreciate that because it went from anxiety to almost total calmness for me. One comment I have, I had a little bit of trouble understanding the connection requests in terms of the clarity was, would you be willing to reflect what is important to blank? And I wasn't sure who that was to be said to. And also the feedback, who that was to be said to. I was not clear about that. And even now, as I tried to tell my wife what this was so I could see if I could say it right, I still got flustered. So I'm not sure where I'm getting mixed up about that. Any help about that would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for letting us know where you wanted clarity. We will be reviewing the process again.
I'm really excited about what we did in the exercise and what it looks like we're leading toward, because in this last week I've really become aware of how much I need to work on empathy, on the skills of empathy, and being aware of all the places in my life where that can happen, where they're just kind of floating before me and I don't have the awareness yet of what's happening. So I'm excited about that. And also meshing self-connection with empathy. So I'm excited about today because of those two things.
My problem in empathy is I get too involved in the emotions of people, and I know that's something that I have to work on. You know, I don't know if it's a barrier, but I can definitely see that I don't really experience empathy unless I kind of stay aside. I've got to figure that out. But that was a great practice.
I enjoyed the exercise also because I had more clarity about my difficulty in staying connected with myself. Enjoyed Jim's invitation not to get hooked when we're listening to someone with emotions. It is quite difficult for me in the imagination part. I was trying to imagine a person who was just now through the horrendous experience of the earthquake in Italy. It was very hard for me not to be sympathetic. I want to be empathetic and connected to myself, but what I see happening is that I either become sympathetic or I go through the motions of the technical part of empathy and then disconnect with myself. For me, it's very hard to remain unhooked without being disconnected to myself. And that's my growing edge at this point.
Thank you for letting us know where your edge is, and I think that's probably a familiar edge to many of us.
I was very, very disappointed in myself. Our last practice group, when a woman came back, there is such intensity to her that it's like all the air in the room is gone. And I'm so surprised and disappointed, because I want to be present, I want to give good empathy, but it's like I want to shut her down, shut her up. It's just terrible to admit it, but it's true. That I am overwhelmed by her intensity, and I know that she's going to keep coming forth with the intensity until she gets the empathy she needs. Oh, I'm surprised that I'm up in my head wondering how long, why the empathy isn't getting in. So I'd love to hear you talk about, the whole group is guessing. And she just goes on and on and on, and it's about a work problem. And I know there must be a lot of pain there, but I would really enjoy hearing you and Jim talk about that, because the whole reason we're here is doing NVC is to connect with the person in pain and obviously connect with ourselves. But not only was I out of touch with myself, I was out of touch with her. I left the group thinking that I really have a lot to learn and, of course, want to learn it.
Feeling a little disappointment in myself at the moment. A little frayed around the edges with things going on in my life. In touch with some sadness around a relationship with somebody that had a conflict, and now that person doesn't want to engage with me anymore because she says she's afraid of my anger and my expectations and the extremely mean things I say. And when I've asked what exactly she's referring to, concrete observations, they aren't forthcoming. This is sort of a second cycle of this friendship. I have said in an email, because she won't talk to me on the phone, that I'd be willing to at least see a professional communicator one time to have a kinder closure. It's not that I necessarily want to continue that relationship, but I am not wanting to blame myself for the conflict and also to see my part. And I'm just mentioning it because there's always something, some conflict somewhere, and there's a couple in my life, and that's one of them. You know, just how to navigate in a way that I don't repeat behaviors or just blame myself or blame the other person, but that I can see through to a new way of holding conflict and behaviors, my own and someone else's.
Okay, so just notice how you feel right now, having been present or not during this check-in. Just notice your own body.
You've been present to something.
What have you been present to?
And just check in to see how being present to that has been stimulating in some way to you because you're alive.
So connecting with your own physical sensations and emotions in this moment. And getting curious about what are those feelings telling you right now about the state of your needs.
There's something calling for attention. There's something you're favoring.
Then as we get ready to move into the next part of the class, just connect with one thing that you feel grateful for right now. Think of one specific thing that somebody else has done or that you have done that has made your life more wonderful. And get really clear on the observation. So, for example, this morning I got up and noticed that Jory had made oatmeal. That's the observation.
Just a simple thing. Things we do are really quite simple, our acts.
And then connect with what need of yours was met by that action. For me, it was a need for sustenance and support.
In your situation, what did it serve for you? What was your need that got served?
Then allow yourself to experience the savoring of that need being met right now. How do you feel when you remember that? For me, I feel full and warm and thankful. So this is a powerful tool that's available to us to support our own self-connection during any kind of conflict, whether we are playing the role of mediator, whether we're playing the role of disputant, or whether we're just watching a conflict. We can always tune into the gratitude channel in order to build some resources within ourselves, to get some fuel in order to get more present. This is actually maybe one of the ultimate answers to all the questions that were asked during the check-in. What can I do to support myself in being more present? And this is a powerful way that is available to you from moment to moment to just connect with gratitude, to tune into the gratitude channel in order to build those resources. So that's something that you can play with during the rest of the call and really the rest of your life as we move now into answering some of the questions that were asked.
And I think by reviewing the process, it may answer a lot of questions. I'm going to speak about 10 or 12 words. And I would like it if you would pick up a pencil or pen and a piece of paper right now and write them down in the order that I give them. That having heard there's some confusion about the process, we start with one person who speaks. So what I'd like you to write down is A speaks while B listens. And then, on the next line, B reflects. And then, on the next line, B speaks while A listens. And then on the next line, A reflects. And now I would like to go back and look at that. When I say A speaks, what I mean is that A speaks about what's going on for themselves. Well, B listens to A, so when A finishes speaking, and we have gotten clear on what the need is. Then we ask what we call that clarifying request of B. Would you be willing to reflect what you heard was important to A? Or would you reflect that need, this need is important to A? Something along those lines. And so that is the what we call the clarity request, to have B, who's been listening, reflect. So in that little chart that I just spoke of, what I'm talking about is after the first line is when we ask the clarifying request of B. The mediator asks B to reflect what B heard was important to A. That's the first pass, and that's the first question that we ask in this particular very specific process. The first question we ask is for the listener to reflect what the speaker said. That clarity request. Okay. So the second line that I asked you to write, it says, B reflects. After that, right there, after I say thank you, I like to say thank you when people are willing to give me what I asked for. And it also really clarifies that I have received, that we've completed that piece. It also makes some space for being with the need. And then, after the reflection, that's when we ask for the feedback from B. Now I would like to hear what's been stimulated in you about this. That's the kind of feedback we're asking now of the person who listened and reflects. Now we would like to hear from you. We might even just say that. We'd love to hear from you now. However it comes out naturally for you, the key here is one person speaks, the other listens. The listener then reflects what the speaker said, and then we invite the person who had been listening to then be the speaker.
Jory?
Yes.
Feedback request you make at this point of B is that for B to reflect how the statements that A has made have landed on B, or are you requesting that B tells his or her part of the story?
You actually get to guide the process in the way that you see would support connection. I like to keep that question open-ended in the general sense. So, how are you? It's basically, okay, you listen, now tell me how you are. And then B lets you know right where they are right now. And it's going to be in relationship to the conflict, I'm guessing, because we're here about that. Where they hook in is where they are. Which is a key element of empathy, is that we are actually being present to where someone is. We're not leading them to some place other than to the agreement that we will lead a process of speaking and listening and taking turns doing that to make sure everybody's been heard. How does that land for you?
Very well. I appreciate the clarity. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to just put in my two cents on this, that in the beginning of learning the mediation process, just like when you're just beginning to learn nonviolent communication, you're likely to be using quite a few of your bits of awareness, so to speak, to focus on the mechanics of the process. So having these kinds of notes in front of you and going through lots of different relatively mechanical processes will help to get a groove down in your consciousness for how this goes. And as you continue to integrate the process, your own intuitions will become more finely developed. And you'll just get a sense of what kind of a connecting request to make that will guide the parties towards a deeper sense of mutual connection. That's the whole point of this model of mediation, is that connection supersedes resolution. So the intuitions that we're working to develop are around what could I say or do as the mediator that would be most likely to cultivate a sense of connection both within myself and between the parties. So those are the kind of intuitions that we're going to be learning to pay attention to. Curious, Giuseppe, since you asked the question that I'm answering, how that lands with you.
It's beautiful. Thanks. It really enhances my understanding. Thank you.
I have a question. If the intention of a mediation session would be to have an honorable closure between two parties that are going their separate ways, are breaking off a relationship, a friendship or whatever, then does that connection supersedes resolution still, or can there be connection and two people going their separate ways?
I'm guessing, Senta, that even in a situation where people are going their separate ways, if there is a desire to be connected about that, then I can't even say the sentence without putting in the word connection in this moment, that there's something that we're wanting to connect to in that. Otherwise, we would just separate. And secondly, that to understand what we mean by connection, I'd like to be a little clearer about that. Because often we define connection as contact. And that's different than what we mean by connection. Connection on one level could just be a sense of understanding. And when we understand, we connect to various things. We can connect to an observation, a feeling, a need, a request, even an opinion, a thought, a belief. We can connect to a lot of different things. We can connect within ourselves and what's going on inside of ourselves. We can connect to what is going on with someone else. So connection does not necessarily mean involvement. It can be just our own connection, our own compassion that we can connect to, compassion for ourselves and compassion for the other person. How is that for you?
Yeah, I think I'm wanting, in this sort of hypothetical situation, I don't know if it will come to pass or not, to have an honorable closure. And like something where connected to whatever there is to connect to as you say goodbye to someone, basically.
Yeah. It sounds like it's about coming to some healing within yourself, to be able to connect with yourself and also to have some peace when you think of this other person.
Yeah. Yeah, and wishing that person well as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe even to be seen that you do.
As I'm saying this, I'm realizing that I would like this whether or not I have this set up with this person in reality. So somehow I want to take care of it for myself.
I feel really touched hearing you say that because I care about your well-being and there is a sense of relief that you can find a way to meet your needs no matter what another person is willing to do.
Yeah. How I do that, I'm not quite sure yet.
Yeah. One way to do that is to ask someone to play this other person. And you can ask them to play it with their giraffe ears on at first if you like, and just to listen to you with empathy so you have a sense that you've been fully heard, or you can even ask them to do it more than once. You can mix and match, or you can ask them to do it from a place of hurt. And, whatever you think would best, or whatever this person is, or fear, whatever this other person's feeling. And however that is, I've seen this work with people who aren't even on the physical plane anymore to heal relationship that way.
Thank you.
Okay, so going back to the process where we are right now, are there any other questions or comments about what we've covered so far?
I have one just to clarify for me. What I'm hearing, what you said when we were talking about the connection requests, and I think where my confusion is where it says feedback is the B. And we're really asking B to actually transition to B. So to me, that's more of a transition, not a feedback, because if it was feedback, they'd be feedbacking what A had said to me. Am I right that we're really talking about that as transitioning on?
Yes, we are. And I actually have had some, I've been playing with another thing to call that.
Okay.
And I like transition. I also like ABC is the way we talk about it. I like transition. I've even thought about that as calling it an empathy request, although even that's not very clear. But really what I'm doing is I'm asking myself to be an empathy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Asking myself to listen when I ask that question.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
So thank you. That I like that, transition request. We'll play with that some more. If someone has another idea of what we could call that, I'd be happy to hear that. Okay, Jim, did you have some other questions?
One request was about, there was a few folks that talked about the distinction between sympathy and empathy. And so I thought I would just say 20 words or so about that. That both are life-serving expressions to me. Mm-hmm. They can be. I'd just like to make the distinction between what the difference is. For me, empathy is related to when I'm placing the focus of my attention on the other person. So the pronoun that is active for me is you. So for you, blank is important. Lets me know that I'm in empathy. I'm considering what's important to the other person. If the pronoun switches to I feel sad. I feel hooked. I feel whatever it is. Now I've moved into sympathy. So it's just helpful for me to know where I am in the process. And sympathy for me is a form of honesty. So if I'm having a sympathetic reaction, it's because something has come alive in me that I want, that maybe I want some empathy about. Just different than empathy. I want to pause here and see if there's any questions about what I've said.
So, Jim, I find this comment that you just made very helpful, because I think what happened to me in the practice group was I got hung up in the intensity of this woman. And, you know, I started talking about how I was feeling. I know better. But just to be able to be aware of the difference is what you're saying.
Exactly. It's not that empathy is better than sympathy or empathy is better than honesty. It's just that they're two different things. And then again, we'll be developing our own intuitions to make some choices about what we think will lead toward the quality of connection that we would like to have, whether it's in a mediation where we're playing that role or whether it's in a conflict that we're directly involved in. The other thing that comes up for me is in relationship to your practice group dilemma is often in NBC, there seems to be a preference towards empathy over honest, and that we exhibit as if we believe that empathy is enough. And I want clarity that nonviolent communication contains three different modes, self-connection, empathy, and honesty. And so if I'm in a situation where it seems like empathy is keeping us, you know, maybe my need for connection isn't being met by just empathy, like in this practice group situation, there I might go to honesty and say, you know, I'm really feeling frustrated here. There's some other things that, some other needs that are up for me about how we spend our time this evening. I'd really like to move towards that. How do you feel when you hear me say that? Something like that, so that I'm actually living the process and giving the other person a chance to switch roles as well and to empathize with me.
Yes.
And I might also say something like, I'm really frustrated and really wanting some movement in how we spend our time together. Would you be willing to tell me what you heard was important to me? That's another way that you can work with that. Anything come up for you when you hear that, Ann?
Yes. I am so aware of the deep pain of this person that she's highly sensitive. So if I were to say that, again, I'm totally worried about being that honest, because she already thinks that she's taking up too much time in the group, and you know, and the other group members have already come to me and said, this is not a therapy group. We can't handle this level. So I'm trying to model something loving and compassionate and real life stuff. I so value being able to model what NVC is about. And yet I admit I am really afraid of her feeling so badly and not accepted somehow in the group. That.
So what's important to you is really to find a way to model compassion.
Yes, but I also don't know where to say I am having a terrible time admitting. Jim was talking about the honesty, but I really am not enjoying hearing one more word. I'm scared to say that.
Right. This is an opportunity for us to be very, very clear about our own needs for empathy. That when we need compassion for ourselves, when we're in pain and we don't have the resources to be present for another person, we're not really serving the system to try to be compassionate with the other person. There's unexpressed emotion in there. There's high levels of sensitivity going on in the room. People are stimulated. The interpretations of what people are sensing in terms of those emotions are a kind of askew because people aren't very connected. So really, although you're concerned about how she may feel about it, I'm equally concerned at, you know, what she'll be telling herself and everybody else will be telling themselves if we don't have a real clear, authentic space in the room. And that authenticity could be, I'm in a space of empathy right now, or I'm in so much pain right now.
Or even the kind of the radical and profound honesty available. If I put myself in your position, maybe the scariest thing for me to say would be what you said a few minutes ago. I'm really scared to open my mouth here because I really don't want your feelings to get hurt. I really care about your well-being. And would you be willing to tell me what you heard was important to me, to actually start with what's most vulnerable in you? How do you feel when you hear me say this, Anne?
It's real and honest, and I'm guessing she and the group are picking up. I need to probably model that and practice for myself that kind of authenticity so that others will feel comfortable stepping up and practicing it as well. And there was a definite elephant in the room, and I was very triggered, and I'm sad. I'm still sad about it. You know, I'm still sad that this is what I brought as facilitator to this group.
Very painful for you to be in a group and particularly take some responsibility for the group and see that people's needs aren't being met.
Right. And to say that they're not being met, they're not upset. They look fine. I'm picking this up in my intuition.
Just to spend another minute or so on this so we move back into focusing on the mediation, maybe you can give some thought to mediation. I'll give some thought to it, too, to be able to summarize this in one sentence for each person, and we can do a mediation on it. But just to be aware that you are expressing being one thing and thinking another, and when that happens, there's the opportunity to give empathy to the whole group and check it out. I'm really concerned that people are disconnecting here, and I would really like to know that. If you're disconnecting, and even you could say, if you're disconnecting from this right now, would you raise your hand and check it out? It'll help you have more peace of mind and presence for what's going on in the room.
Okay. Okay, that's helpful.
What we think is happening can be challenging, but we can use it for empathy. So, for the rest of you who are concerned, whatever that is, just use whatever's coming up. And I want to highlight what Jim just shared about what his honesty was. Often we think we need to understand it all to express our honesty. It can be something just about our confusion. I don't know what to do right now. That's honesty. Or, I'm scared to tell you really what's going on for me. Instead of just, okay, I'm finally going to tell you what it is. You know, it's like, okay, I'm scared about that. You step back into the immediacy of the moment. That kind of authenticity will tend to bring more presence and compassion to everybody. Not always. Nothing's 100%. Not always. I want to move into the lesson on empathy because I think it will also answer some of these questions that have been brought forth. I want to talk about empathy. Before I even go into the various levels of empathy, I'd like to be very, very clear about a couple of things. One is that the most important place for you to put your attention is your own self-connection. When we talk about empathy, it's kind of confusing to use the word empathy with ourselves because that means feeling with another, but we can't really give empathy without having what we call self-empathy or, more clearly, compassion with self. If we haven't attended to ourselves, we don't have the resource to shift because our whole inner being is programmed. Our brain, the emotional brain, is programmed to keep bringing us back to ourselves to attend to things that are stimulated. And the things I'm talking about are what we call needs. If we do not attend to a need, inside of ourselves, the messages, both emotional and mental, will intensify, and we will become more and more disconnected if we try to push them aside to do something else. So this is really an important part if we're going to be present with somebody else, with empathy, is to have that presence within ourselves first. So some of the things that become really difficult when we say we have difficulty dealing with intensity or that we're losing our empathy with someone else is around really what we've lost is our own self-connection. It's not hard to be present with another being if we're well nurtured. But you miss some sleep or you miss some food, really, really hungry, try and read a book. The mind will start drifting, and same thing with tired. And it's the same thing with the needs inside of us, all our needs inside of us, that it really takes some effort. It's not that we can't, but it really takes some effort to put something aside. It also takes a quality of relationship with ourselves, of trust, trust in our own self. If we put something aside, that we will get back to it. If we have habits where we push things aside and we don't pay attention to them later, it makes it harder to be able to have that quality of presence with another person, even when something else is up for us. I want to stop here. I'd like to hear from anybody who doesn't have clarity about anything I've just said.
Would you say then that if we don't have that self-connection, that's where we get hooked into somebody else's process?
The very act of being hooked is a cry for self-connection. If we attend to it fairly quickly, then we can usually get back to the other person. But if we don't, then we just get more and more hooked inside of us. Does that clarify it for you?
Yes, thank you.
I'd like to move on to types of empathy. And now I'm talking about, again, empathy, to be present with somebody else, to be with. Technically, it's to be with someone's feelings, to be with someone's suffering. We're talking about being with somebody and their feelings, whether they're suffering or not. It's a quality of presence. It transcends whatever comes out of our mouth. It's a state of being. To just be present and open to what's going on for someone else. Not doing anything, but rather being. It's a state of being. There are different ways we may be speaking in response to being in a state of empathy. In mediation, as a mediator, as a third party who's standing between others who are stimulated, we are wanting to interact and support connection. And connection is supported often by the words that we use. But I want to be very, very clear that empathy is not the words we're using. And in fact, the words we're using can come with a quality of unconscious competence when we attend to being in the state of empathy first. So it can start with a state of curiosity. Curiosity can move us into empathy. Just to get really curious. Now, curiosity can put us in our head a bit, but I'm talking about the curiosity that has us leaning into really wanting to be with another human being. So when I hear things about situations like, I really want to be empathetic with the other person, that's our mind telling us we should be, often. But if we actually go into our experience of wanting to be, feeling it really from our heart, it's even beyond our heart, our whole being, it's a sense of being open. What is life in this person? Wow, what's it like to be them? How is this for them? To really want to know, to want to be with. When we're in that state, there are a few ways that we may be responding to individuals. This particular piece we use more often initially when we're with someone, and often this is very natural. You may find it quite familiar that we just acknowledge the experience they're having. We might acknowledge a feeling. Wow, you're feeling scared right now. Or, it's been painful for you. Or we might just acknowledge an observation. So you're wanting to have connection here. Or it might even be a request. You're really wanting your daughter to call you. Just acknowledging what's going on for someone. And the more emotionally charged someone is, the more it's acknowledging the feeling they're having. And if we were to put it in classical giraffe, so you're really wanting some understanding about the pain you feel right now. You're needing understanding is the need, really. But we're just really acknowledging the experience. So that's one way we empathize. It's not necessarily pointing to the need yet with, you know, trying to get underneath it, figure out what it's about. You know, you just haven't been feeling well, huh? You would love it if your daughter would be here to take care of you. We do that, as I said, more often in the beginning of a mediation. We're basically building a bridge. We're getting clear on the observations, the trigger of the situation and the feelings that one has. It's kind of tracking them. We acknowledge their pain. So the second thing we might do is to acknowledge a need. We may guess a need, acknowledge a need, but put our focus on what the underlying need. What is the essence of it? We try and bring it down to its essence. That's what a need is for me. What is the essence of all of this? What's the deepest meaning of it all to you? So I might start with the first. So you would really like your daughter to be your caregiver now in your old age. Might be the first of acknowledging the experience. And then I might go to deeper after the person, I sense that the person has some trust that I understand what's going on for them. I might go, guessing this is about trust and safety for you. Is that it? That's taking it down to the need. Often the sense of jargon or whatever that comes up or the sense of resistance that people have when we start using MVC with people who aren't into MVC, it's about how quickly we move to that need and they're not there. We're not really tracking them. They're not connected at all to that yet. So we're actually building connection with the first to at the level of, oh, at least we're on the same page about what we're talking about. And then we can go to the need. And we do that often with some question, unless it becomes so clear we have a sense that the other person really is just wanting reassurance that we heard. But when we're guessing at that need, we're doing just that. We're kind of guessing that this is what it would be. Because I could say, ah, so it's really about trust and safety for you. And the other person might say, well, it's about family and caring. Well, I want to go wherever they go with that. You know, oh, so it's family and caring. Yeah, I try not to analyze a whole lot whether the word family, for example, is on the need sheet. It's more, is that something we can all relate to as universal? And, of course. I kind of put the same in my head. Can I say, of course, everybody would want that. Yeah, okay. Then I reflect at the need level. So that's the second thing we might do in terms of what we do with our empathy is reflect a need. We may link that actually to the feeling, particularly if there's been a lot of feeling that someone has expressed. I'm going to want to reflect. So when I said, so it's really painful for you because you'd like your daughter to be with you to care for you now that you're needing help as you get older. I'm going to want to connect that pain to the need at some point for a couple of reasons. I'm going to want the person to be able to connect, to take responsibility for their own feeling. And I'm also wanting the other person to be clear. It's not theirs. Whoever's listening, it's not the listener's responsibility. It is what's going on inside of the one who's speaking. It's not that the listener should do something. It's about what's inside. So it might be. So that pain is around your need just for trust and safety or family. Yeah. So now the third thing we may do with our empathy is something we call savoring. Savoring the need in particular, savoring the essence of what this is about. And we do that by creating space. And we do that when there is a sense that people are getting more and more connected to themselves and what's going on with the other. Initially, I create space by using the word thank you every time somebody actually reflects the need of the other. Just by saying thank you can create some space. And when I'm reflecting with someone and we've really gotten to the need and we're in a deeper place, I say, oh, so it's about safety for you. Or those go with family. So it's about family for you. And then I just don't say anything. If it's something else in that space, they'll fill it in. You know, and they go, oh, no, it's really about safety. I go, oh, safety. And I rest in that. And try and make some space around these needs to really be experienced, not just figured out. To let them kind of roll around inside the body and resonate and get into be experienced in the pores of the body. In the pores of our being, to really get it. It also gives the other person time to be with that as well. That's where the connection lies, in the savoring of the needs. I want to open it up. We want to move into practice. The practice is going to be with a mediation. I'm wondering who would like to practice some mediation today? A mediation for today. I heard two already expressed. One is, one party is afraid of the other's anger and energy, and another one would like closure. And the second mediation I heard was, there's a mother who wants help, and a daughter who's involved in something that's very important to her in this moment. Mother wants help now, and the daughter right now has something else she would like to focus on, and that would be a mediation really that would be informal of someone else just standing by who might want to stick their nose in and try and be of some support. And then there was a third one about someone who is leading a group. One person is expressing a lot of intensity. So I think I'm going to move with sentas because it's just really clearly between two people, and I think that will be easier in this moment to work with. Then we're looking for two people who are willing to play disputants now and have the experience, a more visceral experience of being on the receiving end so you can learn from that.
I'll play one of them.
Would you like to be the person who is afraid of the anger or some intensity? or a person who would just like a kinder closure to the relationship?
Either person, doesn't really matter to me. You have another person, and that, and it does matter to them. Let them choose, and I'll do the whatever the other is.
All righty. Who else is willing?
Can I say something? I think you don't quite have the conflict quite right.
There's another way that you would like to see it played. So what would that be?
Well, just one piece of it. The woman that is afraid of the anger and expectations of the other one is wanting to cut off the relationship.
Yes, thank you for clarifying that.
I'll play the woman who wants to cut off the relationship.
Okay, so you'll be the person who's wanting to cut off the relationship, and Richard is the one who wants a kinder closure. We've got Ivory and Jackie who are going to be practicing some mediation. Does anybody else want to step up now that you've heard this? And maybe do 2 or 3 minutes, Stephen, of trying this out?
Giuseppe.
So you're thinking you would like a little practice today, too? Okay. So I'll leave about 5 minutes each person, which is, I think you'll find sufficient amount of time in the early part. I'm going to start the mediation. I'll basically set it up. And when we do the transitions, I'm going to ask us to stop, you know, or just take a moment here to take a break. And whoever spoke last in terms of the disputant, make a note of what you said last, because I'm going to ask you to repeat what you had just said to reinitiate the mediation for the next person. I will start the mediation, and then I will just say Ivory, and you'll step in. For the observers, I suggest you be writing down the needs that you hear as a practice in preparation, and you can also write down just a feeling or an observation as well if you're more inclined that you might have been connecting to acknowledging a different kind of experience in the moment, acknowledging their pain or something. Just keep a note in front of you. It'll help you stay connected, and it'll also support you in your own learning.
Yes. Can I ask a question as an observer? Am I paying attention to both sides?
I would suggest that you pay attention to yourself in relationship. If I were the mediator, this is what I'd be connecting to. So, yes, that would be both sides. But really, what you're doing is you're doing an internal on paper, keeping your focus on you as a third presence to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start the mediation as if I'm the first mediator. And so, Teresa and Richard, thanks so much for coming in. I understand that you have had some challenge in your relationship or some conflict, and I'm pleased to be able to support you in having some connection and some understanding, or when I say connection, understanding about what's going on. So ideally you can make your choices with some clarity here and feel peaceful about that. I'm going to be guiding the process and wanting to hear from both of you. And what's really important to me, and I'm guessing important to you, is that everybody be heard. So that also means that what's important to me and what I think is needed for everybody to be heard is that everybody listens, that we each are listening to each other. So to that end, I'll be making some requests that you reflect back what you hear is important to the other person before you speak. And I'll be supporting you in making that very simple, often just simplifying that down to one or two words so that you can reflect it easily. And we can know that we're all at least have some awareness of what the other one is saying. Any questions you have about this process, Teresa, Richard?
No, thank you.
No.
Okay. I'd like to know who feels ready to listen first.
I'm happy to listen.
Okay. Teresa, would you tell us what is going on for you? And then Ivory, you'll pick it up.
Well, you know, in some ways, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I don't know what I'm hoping to get out of this. To me, in some ways, this relationship is over. I don't trust what what's happened, and I've been scared and hurt, and it's not my idea of a friendship, what friendships are about. So, you know, I'm not sure that there's any place to go with it.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you. Richard, would you...
Before you do that, Ivory, some empathy for her, and empathy so that you can get it to a need that you carry over to Richard, okay?
Okay. So, Teresa, what I heard you say was that you don't know what you're doing here. You're not even sure if anything can be resolved today, and you are feeling a bit scared. That's all I recall right now.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel scared, maybe, just kind of, I think I've resigned myself to what's not working here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what you just said was you are resigned in this relationship to what's not working.
Yeah, and I'm not sure there's anything I can do about it.
Mm-hmm. And so you're feeling that there isn't anything that you're not sure that there's anything that you can do about it. Is that it?
Yeah, I think there's been some trust broken.
Mm-hmm. And you're feeling that there has been some trust broken?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you'd like to add?
Not right now.
Okay, thank you.
So, what do you hear is really important to her? What's the need?
The need would be to establish some trust.
Yeah, so trust is important. So you just say that to her. So trust is important to you. Then if she says yes, you bring it over with, when would you be able to, would you be willing to reflect that to Richard?
So, Teresa, it's trust that's important to you?
Yes. I think that's the basis of friendship.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Richard?
Yes.
Would you be willing to reflect back what you just heard Teresa say that's important to her?
Well, she said that she didn't know what she was doing here because the relationship appeared to be over and that there's no trust and that she was scared and hurt and really...
So I'm gonna call a timeout here. What I would suggest at this point, particularly for the first round, is to say, would you be willing to reflect that trust is important to her? So that he just goes to the need, trust, rather than the whole story. We want it to be very simple here, so try that.
Okay. Richard, would you be willing to reflect back that you heard that it's trust that's important to Teresa?
Yes, that I did hear her say that,
mm-hmm.
that trust is important to her.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so let's just take a break here to get ready to shift to the next mediator and just to connect with wherever we are right now. Richard, would you repeat what you just said, and then Jackie, you pick it up.
I did hear her say that trust is important to her.
Great, thank you. So what are you feeling after hearing her say this?
Well, I'm feeling really confused because I don't really understand what she's talking about in terms of, you know, I mean, no trust and basically, she's saying, I've blown the relationship, or at least that's what it feels like. And I do care about the relationship with Teresa. It's really confusing to me.
Okay, I get that it is confusing with neither of you kind of connecting here. What do you think you need from her? What could help you find some resolve from this?
Well, part of the problem is I have tried to discuss this, and she didn't want to discuss it. So my real need is a need for connection. I really feel that we have lost that, and we don't seem to be listening to each other. And I'll take responsibility for a big part of that, too. But, I mean, I've tried to have a phone call, and there is no response. I don't know how to have a relationship if there is no way to talk about it.
Sure, sure. But I hear that you want some connection, whether it be just to say goodbye and things are good, or to try and work on the relationship.
Well, it's pretty painful to me for somebody to tell me they don't trust me when I don't understand why that is there.
Okay.
That doesn't feel good to me, and I don't want to leave that hanging out there.
Okay.
I try to be trustworthy. I try to be honest. I don't really understand where the trust was betrayed.
Okay. Teresa?
Make sure that you reflect very clearly to Richard, so you get a yes from Richard with one or two words, a need word, and then you carry it over.
Okay. So I hear that you need the trust, Richard, that you may not really understand why you lost it, but to have some resolve with Teresa that you can connect through some trust, whether it is continuing the relationship or letting the relationship basically die. Is that kind of where you're at?
Yeah, I think connection and understanding are the two big needs that I have right now.
Okay, I understand that, connection and understanding. Okay, Teresa, could you just reflect on what Richard just said? And
so very specifically.
Okay.
Be very specific. Connection and understanding.
Okay, connecting with him that he needs a connection with you in understanding that. Okay.
Okay, so wait, let me just be really clear. We're asking him to reflect two words.
Okay.
And make sure you keep her out of what you're asking her to reflect.
Okay.
She'll get so hooked.
Okay.
Hard not to hear it about that it means something about her if you put her name in. So just, would you reflect that understanding and connection are important to Richard?
Okay. Okay, Teresa, can you reflect and repeat that connection and trust are important to Richard?
I hear him say that connection and trust is important to him.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so now let's just self-connect with it ourselves. In a moment, I'll ask you to repeat that, Teresa. Giuseppe will become the mediator. So from a place of self-connection, Teresa, would you repeat that, what you just said?
I heard him say that connection and trust are important to him.
Thank you. So, Teresa, how does this land?
Well, I guess I find that kind of hard to believe.
You sound surprised.
Yeah, because my idea of connection and trust means that someone isn't yelling at me and getting angry and hostile. I don't know how to build connection and trust when I'm the recipient of that. That's where my lack of trust comes from.
So you sound puzzled about the meaning of trust. You wanted to have some more understanding of what Richard's understanding of trust is.
Well, I want him to have understanding of what trust means to me.
To you?
Yeah. Trust means, you know, I can be safe without having to worry about his temper.
So you want to have safety?
Yeah.
Thank you. So Richard, willing to reflect back that safety is important to Teresa?
I heard her say that safety is important to her.
Thank you. How does that make you feel?
Well, again, I guess a little bit confused because I don't think she was ever in danger of anything. I mean, in the conversation we had, both of us raised our voices a little bit. And if I was yelling, I didn't mean to be yelling, but she was raising her voice too. So I think we both kind of escalated what we were talking about. And then all of a sudden she shut down. So evidently it got to a peak that was uncomfortable to her. But instead of being able to pick that up even at a lower temp, she just wanted to walk away. And that's sad to me. And I don't understand where that relates to trust unless it's trust that she's safe. But she was never in danger. You know, if anger and frustration causes her to be feel unsafe, then I really am sorry about that. That was not the intent.
Thank you. So it sounds like you're experiencing some sort of sadness and frustration over hearing Teresa's explanation of trust.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, if it's over that, then that I am sad about that. We both participated in the escalation of the activity and the conversation, but I don't. I was not aware until she just withdrew that was a safety issue for her. And I don't want her to feel unsafe around me.
I'm going to call a time here just so that we make sure we have enough time to debrief. Is that okay for you in this moment, Giuseppe?
Very fine with me. Thank you.
Okay. I would thank the mediators for participating and being willing to stick your neck out in this place of beginning to be able to just practice a little bit of this, even though it's not terribly familiar yet. I'd like to check in first with Richard in our debrief here and ask you, how was it for you to be heard and to have the request to reflect in this?
Well, it changes the focus, or it did change the focus for me, which is kind of interesting, because once I began realizing that there was a safety, when you talk about trust, that's almost like a blame type thing. When you talk about safety, that's kind of a different piece. You know, that feels very different to me than trust, because, I've have been around anger and all in my life too, and have participated in it, and know that that can escalate to the point where people can feel unsafe. But it really changes the focus for me in that role.
Did that change of focus enhance your sense of connection with either yourself or with the other party?
Absolutely.
And for you, Teresa, how was it for you?
Similarly, even, you know, just playing that role, I could feel, you know, not like big shifts happening yet, but I could feel some shifting in the slowing it down, making it simple, and knowing that I was going to be able to say it and that Richard would be reflecting it. You know, having someone there to play that role to keep it on track.
So it sounds like it cultivated in you a sense of, like, trust that you too would be heard.
Yes.
And now moving to our mediator, Ivory. Thanks for practicing and sharing this for all of us. How are you feeling right now?
I appreciated the opportunity to apply some of what you've been sharing with us. And what I particularly got was bottom lining. So I was listening to Teresa, and rather than reflecting back several of the things she said, your suggestion was to go right into what the need was. And I appreciate that. Just something about getting to the bottom line seemed more powerful.
Thank you. You were acknowledging the pain initially, and that is an important piece in there as well. And before we carry it over, we get to at least some need. Even you just would like this understood, right? You know, whatever it is, that there is a need that we carry over. What you did earlier was similar to acknowledging the pain. Thank you. And Jackie, having had this experience, how is it for you?
I really enjoyed it in participating. I can see the challenge, because I think this is very realistic. I think Teresa and Richard did a really great job. And in that, the starting, it was hard to even get feelings out of Teresa. She just wanted to go away. She didn't even understand what was going on. So I can see the challenge of drawing those feelings out and then almost having to help when I was talking with Richard to get what he really needed out of this. It wasn't clear to me. I don't think he was communicating that right away, and I hope it's okay to ask questions of him while he's expressing his ideas, because that helped me draw out what was going on.
So it helped contribute to your own clarity.
Yes.
Then did that clarity that you achieved through asking those questions, did that enhance your sense of either connection to yourself or connection to Richard?
My connection to Richard and my feeling of accomplishing what I'm trying to do here. So personally feeling good.
Yeah, that's the measurement always for me about whether something that I'm doing in a mediation is effective or not. I'm asking myself and measuring, is it contributing to a sense of connection either with myself or between the two parties? So thanks for bringing that piece up.
And then Giuseppe?
Being the third to go, I felt pretty comfortable. Yeah, it's easier for me. The second round of questioning to Richard brought about the feeling of sadness and regret. And at that point, I was trying to figure out what the need was. That was my difficulty.
Just challenging for you to find the word to describe the energy that you were sensing in the other person. Is that what you mean?
You know, when you hear that one person is sad about his behavior, then I wouldn't know how to make the next move. So I'm confused about that.
But you hadn't quite gotten there yet as you were listening to the need, but you were aware of the sadness.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so you can go there. Yeah, so it's really sad for you because you care about the relationship or you care about trust or, you know, or just even just acknowledge. It's sad for you that the relationship has come to this. That would be acknowledging the pain versus guessing the need.
Right, okay. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Could I ask a question about that, Jory?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, would it be helpful to go back to the need for connection and understanding and see if that's still, since that was talked about earlier, is that ever helpful to go back and see if that's still where you're connecting, where I'm connecting on the need?
I try and stay with what's alive in the person in the moment rather than take them back to something. And if that's what you're sensing is going on and it's what's said before, yeah. So it's understanding. It's connection.
That's the beauty of guessing, is when you guess, you'll find out whether it's alive in the person. This is a place where it's absolutely okay to make mistakes, to guess wrong, because the worst thing that can happen in my mind when we make an empathic guess is that it stimulates self-connection in the person that you're asking. Hmm. So then they'll let you know what's alive in them right now.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Well, Richard did say that he didn't want Teresa to feel unsafe. So that's a need for what?
Safety, well-being, something like that is how I would hear that.
Regardless of whether it's for himself or her.
Yeah.
Safety in the world is a need, well-being for all. So, Senta, I know you brought this conflict in, and I'm wondering how it is for you.
Nice to be witness and to hear the humanity on both sides. And I feel a sense of responsibility and sadness, but also that I've been made to, I don't know what the word is, because I feel like I'm being blamed for the dynamic. I'm trying to escape myself from that. And listening, I think that Giuseppe or whoever brought up the confusion about Richard's needs at the end sort of resonated for a lack of clarity I feel around my own needs at this point. I feel ambivalence when it comes to wanting to continue the relationship.
Yeah, I'd like to come back to you and have this be part of your checkout, too, but I would really love to hear from Richard. Does that work for you? Richard, is there anything you'd like to say?
No, it was very interesting to play, and it was fairly intense because I've been in a situation similar to that, and so it was helpful to actually work through that with Teresa, who really didn't want a relationship with me, and try to get some understanding. And I wanted to, of course, I'm the one that wanted to not get out of the relationship, but wanted some closure or some understanding. But it was a good thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us and for playing that role.
I'd like to invite both of you to let go of your roles now and just get back into yourself. And as we move into a complete checkout for everybody in the group.
Yeah, and just to take whatever is useful for you in your own personal let go of the personality or whatever pieces that you graciously supported us with taking on. I'd like to start a checkout and go to Senta and then hear from the observers next and do a checkout now that includes your experience of this class, this role play, whatever you would like to share. And so back to you, Senta.
I really appreciate the role playing. I want to say that about the class in general, today I felt like there was just too much talk for me. I just got lost with it, and that I have a need for more participation from the group, including myself. I know there's a lot of information to cover, but it just loses me after a while. So I'm finding myself multitasking and not being present. And then I did come present when we had the exercise and the role playing. So that's just feedback and requests rolled into one.
Great, thanks.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed the whole class, and actually the piece on working with a difficult situation in a practice group was really helpful for me, because I've had that experience before, and in my group we talk about that, interrupting and giraffe, or just how to deal with some of that intensity. So I found that was really helpful. The mediation piece was really helpful for me to listen in on. I benefited a lot, and I'm very grateful for the learning I got from it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am really tuning into the whole self-connection piece. I'm feeling a certain amount of, I guess I'd call it mourning. It sounds like a strong word. So want to do no harm, you know, in a practice group, et cetera, and hope that the learning process won't hurt anyone, whether it's on this call or in a practice group, and people know that's why they're there. But I really enjoyed the role play. Also see slowing down of everything. This particular model is very helpful, will really help me to do the self-connecting piece a little differently. At least that's what I'm hoping for myself. I think it really helps facilitate the slowing down of things. It has been very good for me to feel and see as an observer today. I thought it was a very valuable class, and I learned a lot.
Thanks for being with us.
What I particularly appreciate today in learning, one often learns how to do something. Like in the beginning, the A and B was about how to do it. But I then appreciated the self-connecting and the empathy was really about how to be a mediator. And the being was important for me. So I liked the whole of it today, appreciated the whole of it. It enriched what my objective is, and especially to be. I found that valuable. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I enjoyed the fluidity and the clarity of the explanations. Also had fun with the mediation, and I learned a lot by mediating. So I take the opportunity anytime.
Thank you.
So I'm feeling full. I really enjoyed hearing the checkout. That really helped me to get present again to what was going on. I had some morning, about the middle of the class, I started getting really antsy and eager to find a way to get you guys practicing sooner. Wasn't quite sure what to do about that, because I thought what Jory was sharing was also important, and that every word was precious, and yet I was eager to figure out a way to get more practice in. Be thinking about that over the next week. I also am feeling grateful for the willingness of people to jump into the mediator role. I know I'm just guessing that it must be scary and, what's the other word, just unfamiliar to do something that's this challenging in a fairly unfamiliar zone, which is on the telephone. So I'm really grateful for the willingness of people to play the role of mediator especially, but also to play the other roles as well. And I'm grateful for the honesty and the feedback that we're receiving from you, and looking forward to hearing more. If there's anything you'd like to discuss, I'm eager and hungry to hear any ideas you have of how to make this class more powerful and effective for you and for the folks that will follow you. Jory?
Wow, ditto. That very much reflects a lot of the gratitude that I feel right now. I'm really glad that you're willing to participate on a lot of different levels. Thankful for the mediators in particular to stick your neck out. It's challenging when you're first learning something to overcome some of that, for many of us, to overcome that place of, God, I might make a mistake, or I might make a fool of myself, or whatever, and just to really demonstrate the gift it is to stick your toes in the water and just do it however you do it and learn whatever you learn and support the rest of us in learning with you in that. And the disputants, thank you for being willing to take on a role. to those who've brought up disputes that we can work with. I mean, these are really the core in the life of bringing this work out into effectiveness and the learning to happen.